Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. In our modern world, we have become very conscious of the symbols used by companies to represent their products. These symbols identify the brand of each product, and they help us to distinguish our favorites from all other similar products. As a result, when we see the swoosh symbol on sporting gear, we know that we're looking at a genuine Nike product. When we see the stylized apple with a bite taken out of it, we know it's a Mac product. For older folks, we know the bow tie emblem on a car or truck means that it was produced by the Chevrolet division of General Motors. We know also that the blue oval represents a Ford product, and so forth. These symbols are called brands, and harken back to the days when ranchers each had a distinctive mark that was literally burned into the hide of every head of cattle that belonged to them. These brands were registered and made it very easy to tell one man's cattle from another's. Even today, ranchers use brands to distinguish their cattle from all others that might be out on a range. Now, the idea of branding something to identify its owner is not a new concept. In fact, it goes far back into history and even has connections to spiritual matters. For a few moments today, we will consider a comment made by Paul in his letter to the churches of Galatia, in which he spoke of being branded. As we do so, we will make some observations about how this applies to us as followers of Christ today. When Paul wrote his letter to the churches of Galatia, he had two primary goals in mind. One was to correct false teaching that was leading some of these disciples away from Christ. That false teaching was the work of Judaizers, who were convinced that the Gentiles must become adherents to the law of Moses through circumcision in order to be faithful Christians. Much of Paul's teaching in this letter refutes this false doctrine. His second goal in this letter was to defend his authority as an apostle. This was an issue that seems to have arisen from time to time, especially in the church in Corinth and also among the churches of Galatia. This must have been a particularly discouraging item to Paul because these were people whom he had personally taught and who were initially very receptive to his apostolic leadership. Nevertheless, unnamed opponents of Paul succeeded in casting doubt on his authority as an apostle, and he was compelled to defend himself in this letter as well as in his letters to the Corinthian church. It was in this context, then, that Paul made his comment about branding. It is found at the very end of the letter to the churches of Galatia. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17, Paul said, "From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear in my body the brand marks of Jesus." Now, coming as it does at the end of this letter, this remark is the conclusion of Paul's defense of himself as an apostle. However, it comes at the end of a very interesting paragraph in which he spoke of the hypocrisy of the Judaizers and set up a play on words leading to this final defense. Let's read that together. In Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 12, we're going to read through verse 16. Paul said, "Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." Now, under the law of Moses, circumcision was the brand mark of one who was a party to the covenant of God. The uncircumcised were not part of God's people, and thus were excluded from his promises. The Gentiles, who were never a party to the old covenant, were uncircumcised. Therefore, to the Jews, they were separated from God and would remain separated from him until such time as they submitted to circumcision. Under Christ, however, the law of Moses had been fulfilled and set aside in favor of the new covenant. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul said that Christ took the law out of the way by nailing it to the cross. All this had been prophesied long before in scriptures such as Jeremiah 31 verses 31 to 34, in which God spoke of the time when he would make a new covenant with his people, in which his law would be written on their hearts. This covenant, the new covenant, would have no national boundaries, but would apply to all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. For the Jewish Christians to require circumcision of Gentiles was a perversion of the covenant of Christ, and Paul identified it as a different gospel that was actually a distorted gospel. The brand mark of circumcision no longer applied and was only being imposed on the Gentiles to satisfy the selfish interests of certain Jewish Christians. In Christ, it was not the mark of circumcision or the lack of that mark that identified the true people of God. It was the new creation that they became by obedience to the gospel. The true Israel of God would bear the brand of Jesus Christ, just as Paul did. In Galatians 6 and verse 17, Paul said that he bore in his body the brand marks of Jesus. The term that he used was one that was used to describe the physical brands that were often used in ancient times to mark livestock or slaves. Just as ranchers do today, the ancients would mark their livestock with a symbol that identified them as their property. This was also done to identify slaves. We do not know exactly how this might have been done among the Gentiles, but we do have an idea of what Israelites did. The closest reference to this that we find in the scriptures is the command given in Exodus 21, verses 1 through 6, on how to deal with a slave who has fulfilled his obligation to his master, but who does not wish to leave his master's service. In such an instance, the slave would be taken to the door or doorpost, and his ear would be pierced with an awl. This mark showed that the slave had chosen to serve his master in perpetuity. This was the only form of branding that God authorized for his people. It seems likely that the pagan nations used tattoos for many reasons, among which was identifying slaves. The Romans may also have used tattoos to identify the soldiers in their legions. We conclude that tattooing was a common practice among the pagans because God gave specific instructions to his people about this in Leviticus 19 and verse 28. God told Israel, "You shall not make any cuts in your body for the dead, nor make any tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord." Now the reason for this prohibition was because such marks were often done as part of pagan religious rites. Those who made cuts on their bodies or tattooed their bodies were marking themselves as devotees of their gods. If the Israelites did these things, they would not only look like the pagans, but we'd be tempted to join in other pagan religious rites. God intended for his people to be distinct from the pagan nations in every possible way. He also did not want them to be influenced by pagan practices, which would lead them away from him. It is especially important to note this prohibition in light of the modern obsession with tattoos. Christians see their friends and acquaintances marking themselves with all kinds of tattoos and they wonder, well, what's the big deal? This is especially the case with young people. Well, here's the big deal. It's the same issue today with tattoos as it was when God prohibited Israel from marking themselves with them. You see, tattoos are a fad of the world, and although most of them have nothing to do with religious expression, they are still permanent marks on one's body that identify that person with this worldly fad rather than with Jesus Christ. Seemingly lost in the contentions about tattoos is the fact that God wants us to wear only the brand marks of his Son, Jesus Christ. When we wear the brands of the world, whether it is tattoos or immodest dress or profane language, we are hindering our influence for good. And certainly, if God prohibited his people from having tattoos, even though they were serving only the shadow of the good things to come, how much more so would he not want his people today to wear them, who are, in fact, the true Israel of God? The brand marks of Jesus Christ are not tattoos of any kind, not even crosses or doves or an artist's conception of the Lord's face. The brand marks of Jesus are the things that set his people apart from the world and which demonstrate that we are his slaves rather than slaves of unrighteousness. The life of the Apostle Paul is an example of this truth. When Paul said that he bore in his body the brand marks of Jesus, he was referring to the many things he had physically suffered as an apostle of Christ. We can read of some of these things in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 22 to 29, where he tells of suffering beatings, imprisonment, shipwreck, stoning, pursuit by his enemies, labor, hardship, and the anguish of worrying about the churches. All of these things marked Paul, physically and emotionally, as a slave of Jesus Christ. These things were the Lord's brand on him. Now, most of us will never suffer the kinds of things for our faith in the Lord that Paul suffered. But we still must wear the brand marks of Jesus in our bodies if we are truly his disciples. For us, the brand marks of Jesus may be summarized as the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, Paul said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Now, in the same way that a tattoo marked a slave in the first century, these qualities that Paul has spoken of here in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 mark Christians as slaves of Jesus Christ. Now, it's important for us to recognize that we cannot bear these marks covertly, that is, covered up, undercover, as it were. By their very nature, the brand marks of Jesus Christ, which are the fruit of the Spirit, must be visible in our lives to everyone who sees us. They must be borne out in our bodies, as it were, and all who see them in us will know whose we are. Well, as we consider these truths from Scripture, we need to ask ourselves whose brand we are wearing. When people see us, do they see the marks that identify us as Christians, as slaves to Jesus Christ? Or do they see the brand marks of the world? We need to make no mistake about it. We all wear someone's brand. And if it is not the brand of Jesus Christ, we place our soul in jeopardy. Paul the Apostle's brand was evident in his body by what he did to serve the Lord and by what he suffered as he served the Lord. As we think about these things together today, what is evident in your body? What brand marks are seen by those who observe your way of life? Whose brand do you wear? Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.